And on this Friday morning, we're here to talk baseball as we get you set for the weekend and really the future all the way into October. I'm Adam Azer on the Opening Line podcast. This is episode 3. If you are, you know, an early listener who's been listening since the start, we thank you so much. And you're just meeting new people every time out. So today it's Matt Snyder, one of our CBSSports.com baseball writers, joining us to talk MLB futures and a little bit of today's action. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
Good. Hopefully I can live up to the baseline that's been established here. I assume the bar is high.
Well, you're the first baseball guy, so you, that's all you have to worry about is your sport.
So I'm setting the bar.
Yeah, basically. You know, we were going to try to have Dane Perry on. He'll come on at some point, too. If anybody...
Well, he can't live up to me.
Well, he's in a different world. If anybody's ever heard or read Dane, you know he's a different kind of guy, and we look forward to having him on the podcast. How are things in the south side of Chicago? Well, you're not there anymore, are you?
North side of Indy, actually.
Okay, but you have some south side of Chicago roots, right?
My dad grew up in the northwest corner of Indiana, so not really Chicago, but they call it the region is what they call it up there. Like, college basketball fans would be able to identify well with Valparaiso. That's where Valpo is.
Okay, but you like the Cubs. That's what I was getting at. And things are going
Cubs,
well.
Cubs and Bears.
Things are going well for the people in the Cubs land right now.
Yeah, they're looking very exciting. Even if they miss the playoffs, I mean, that would be a bummer. But I think everybody should be excited about the direction because it looks like next year will be better than this year, and the year after that will be better than next year. So it's an exciting time.
The Cubs are, what, 18-1 right now to win
Absolutely.
The World Series?
Yeah.
What do you think?
18-1, worst World Series odds among teams that are currently in playoff position. But that's not all too surprising because you have the whole stigma, the, oh my gosh, they can't win because they're the Cubs, which is not an argument, but it's still people use it.
Well, they're a much different team now, and Kyle Schwarber's been a big addition for them, and Rizzo's playing great. Chris Bryant's hit a bit of a wall. So let's talk about the Cubs. We'll start with that, and we'll get into it. I'm going to give out a free baseball pick as well. But the Cubs at 18-1, as you mentioned, you look at all the playoff contenders, those are pretty good odds right now. Can they win the World Series? It's 18-1 to win it.
Yes, they can. I don't think they would be my pick. I don't know if they would ever be my pick, but this year, being a wild card, it looks like they're going to be a wild card contestant. They're probably, the best guess is they're going to have to be on the road at Pittsburgh. Now, they can handle the Pirates on the road, especially with Jake Arrieta. They just did that the other night. But then they'd have to go into the divisional round against somebody who's much better set up pitching-wise in the divisional round. So the odds being a little longer than the teams leading their divisions, it makes sense. So they could make it. I mean, we saw the Giants win it from the wild card last year. We saw the Royals get there from the wild card last year. They don't seem like the team that's ready for a deep run just yet. Get back to me on that one next year.
I think they could really use Jason Hamill turning things around. That's kind of an X factor for them. What's your take on Hamill and his rough July?
Been right since he went down with that groin injury.
Right.
And I know I was in Cincinnati when he had a start that was kind of rocky, and he said he still feels it a little bit, but he still feels like he can pitch through it and pitch well through it. Well, he hasn't done the latter yet. So it's something that remains to be seen. They did sign back after Dan Heron was activated to the roster. They put Rafael Soriano on the DL, and they signed back Clayton Richard. I wonder if it would do Hamill some good to have a start skipped and throw Clayton Richard in there for a spot start, because he actually he threw well in Milwaukee. I know it was just the Brewers, but Clayton Richard threw well for him last time. It might do Hamill some good to have a start skipped and just try to make sure he's gotten everything right.
More on World Series odds in just a bit. Here's your free pick of the day. This is an A-pick, according to our Sportsline simulations. If you're unfamiliar with Sportsline, go to the website now, sportsline.com. It's brand new. It's really sweet. It's so cheap. If you want some expert advice on lines and your best bets and things like that, futures, all that stuff. We've got writers, so we have a human element to it, guys you've heard on this podcast and will hear in the future. And we have an outstanding simulation model designed by Stephen O, who simulates games over 1,000 times and gets the most likely outcome. We tell you what's going to happen on the field. Give you a box score. Actually, some daily fantasy advice in there as well if you play in FanDuel or DraftKings or anything like that. So your free pick number one, an A pick. We do A, B, and C. C is a slight lean. The higher the grade, obviously, the more confidence we have in the pick. Washington to beat Colorado tonight. They are a favorite. They're -150. Got to lay 150 to win 100. The Nationals over the Rockies. That is an A pick, a free one from the Sportsline simulations. Kind of interesting. I would rather play an underdog pick tonight than that free pick, just because I don't trust Jordan Zimmermann against Colorado, who is not great on the road, 20th in road OPS, but very good against righties. Well, I expect the Nationals to win, but it seems a little lopsided with how disappointing that Zimmermann has been.
Well, I just went through it. Rich Rockies on the road, though, and they are 5-14 in their last 19
yeah.
road games. So that's got to be part of the reason for the A pick, is that you're looking at Colorado on the road. Obviously, their offense is not nearly as strong as it used to be because Troy Tulowitzki isn't there anymore. They still have Cargo, and he's been going well for a little bit. They still have Nolan Arenado, who is an underrated superstar at this point, but it's Rockies on the road, man. De La Rosa is the type of guy who the Nationals could really beat up on, even though their offense has not been that strong of late. Last night's 8-run effort against the Diamondbacks notwithstanding.
Well, I got a sneaky underdog pick for you.
It's all right, let's hear it.
Atlanta +135 at home against the Marlins. So the Braves are an underdog here. 100 to win, 135 on the Braves against Miami. Why are they an underdog against the Marlins? Well, Jose Fernandez is on the mound.
Yeah.
Julio Teheran is on the mound as well. Now, you got to do the splits here. Fernandez.
Absolutely.
Fernandez is not a great road pitcher in his career, but that does not exactly extend to Atlanta. He has been great there. But what's more important to me is Teheran at home. Teheran at home this year has a 2.37 ERA. And he's facing the Marlins. So the Marlins, no matter who's pitching for them, they never have a great chance to win as they're constituted right now without Stanton. So I like this underdog pick, Atlanta +135 hosting the Marlins. What do you think?
The almost more exciting is what's the over under, because it's probably going to end up 1-0.
Yeah, if it's, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but if it's 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. As you mentioned, Teheran, I can't remember, outside of like a pitcher in Colorado or on the other end of the spectrum in San Diego or Seattle, I can't remember a home road split so pronounced. You look at Teheran, 5-1 with a 2.37 ERA at home, 2-5 with a 6.75 on the road.
Yeah.
Almost 4.5 runs worse on the road. That is unbelievable. So he is like a Cy Young candidate at home, and you know he's going up against a Cy Young candidate. But the other thing I wonder about on Fernandez is, most of the time when a pitcher's in his first year coming off Tommy John surgery, at some point he kind of hits a wall, and it's usually pretty soon. If you remember Matt Harvey this year, it was Harvey Day, Harvey Day, Harvey Day, all the hype through
right.
like 4 or 5 starts, and then he kind of hit a real rough patch because they're starting to get that early wear and tear on the arm. Usually the best year off Tommy John surgery is your second year back, because you've fully adjusted to it, you've gotten your stamina back, and you've been able to get through the league a few times. I wonder if Fernandez is going to kind of start to hit that wall at some point this year, and you never know if that night's tonight. Now, the Braves offense obviously is not very good at all, but if you start to hit that wall, it doesn't really matter if you're facing a good offense or a bad offense, just that it's a major league offense.
So, yeah, I think we're on the same page there, and I think it's time now to talk about some underdog or some World Series picks here. This is getting really fun. Since the trade deadline, the Blue Jays have been tremendous. They're not exactly the favorite, but they are at 14-1 right now to win the World Series. The favorite, Kansas City Royals, at 7-2. What do you think?
I really like that Blue Jays pick. I mean, whenever I go to a sports book, which is not often at all, but when I do, I like to be able to feel like I could get a lot back. Like if I'm laying down, I'm a low, low, low roller, so I would lay down $10. I'd like to know that I could lay down 10 and win 140 back. And the Blue Jays at 14-1 looks pretty enticing right now, because honestly, they've been playing like the best team in baseball here for about, it's only a week and a half, but taking 3 of 4 from the Royals and really having control of the game that they lost, they could have easily swept them in 4. That it's a testament to the Royals that they came back in that game. But Blue Jays looked real strong. Again, they won 3 of 4 there. They didn't even pitch David Price. They could end up in a wild card game. Now, I think they have a chance to win the East, but let's say they end up in a wild card game. You've got David Price in the best offense in baseball. I like those odds. Then you get into a divisional series situation. Their pitching staff, other than Price, has actually been throwing really well. And again, best offense in baseball. Then you get them to an LCS situation. Let's say the Royals get there. Well, they just handled the Royals without Price. Now they're going to have Price, and he would be lined up. Again, if he pitched the wild card game, by the time you get to the LCS, he would be lined up for probably games 1 and 5. And again, you're talking about that great offense. So I really, really like the Blue Jays right now, and I love that bet at 14-1.
There are 3 teams that are 14-1. I think I like a different team at 14-1 slightly better.
You go Mets?
No, I'm going to go Giants.
Oh, Giants? Okay.
I'm going to go Giants. Look, the Mets are 14-1, and they're obviously one of the hottest teams in baseball, too. It's easy to get caught up in it while they're hot. The Cespedes trade was great for them, but I still don't think they have the hitting to win the World Series. And I wonder if they make a deep postseason run, what are those starters capable of doing when they're, will they be hitting walls with their, you know, this is going to be a lot for them if they make a deep postseason run for the young arms, Syndergaard and DeGrom and Harvey coming back from Tommy John. They're not used to it. So I'm not sure. Honestly, it might be the worst thing for the Mets franchise if they make a deep postseason run and don't win it. I don't want to see that just for those young arms.
You know, that's a good point because I could see a lot of people leaning on Mets. That's why I predicted that you would say them because of the starting pitching. Like the easiest thing when you look at the postseason is to just look rotation. And it doesn't always turn out that way, but that would be a stellar rotation. But as you mentioned, how's Syndergaard going to be holding up by then? How's Harvey going to be holding up by then? Even DeGrom, we haven't seen him throw that many innings to go deep into the postseason and get up into the 240, 250 range. Now, they might respond well, but we just don't know. So that's a good point. But the question is, sticking in the 14-1, how are you liking the Giants?
I like that. I think Pence has brought something back to them. They're hitting the ball really well. Guys like Matt Duffy and Nori Aoki that maybe the casual fan doesn't know about. They're playing very well. Panic and Crawford have had good years. They have a really good lineup, especially for the National League. I know it's an even year, or it's an odd year, so that's not good for them.
But we know that ultimately doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. I know that their pitching isn't what it once was.
That's what I was going to ask about, the playoff rotation.
Not great.
You're looking at, obviously, Madison Bumgarner. I do wonder about the wear and tear, though, after the innings last year, and he hasn't been great this year. He's just been good. Then Heston's been really their second-best pitcher, and he looked pretty bad last night against a fellow playoff contender.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him against good teams. If you look at the game log, he beats up on the bad teams. But I like Mike Leake. I think in that ballpark,
That was a good move.
He's a really good pitcher for them. And Peavy's been very solid for them since they acquired him last year. So it's not great, but maybe they can hit their way through.
And here's another thing. If there is anybody to be had in August who could be a difference maker, Brian Sabian's exactly the type of GM that will find, that will find the right guy to plug in. I mean, it's not a rotation guy, but remember, he got Cody Ross in August. And he made a huge difference in 2010.
You know, the more I think about it, while I like the Giants better than the Blue Jays, I think the NL is going to be a tougher playoff road than the AL. So perhaps that gives the perhaps that swings things in favor of the Blue Jays. What do you think? I think when you talk about the Cardinals, I expect the Nationals to win the NL East still, now that Strasburg will be back on Saturday. And the Dodgers, of course. I think it's tougher sledding in the NL. What do you think, Matt?
It's a lot tougher. Even if you look at if you go down to the first wild card, there's a top four in the National League where we don't even include the Giants or Cubs, who are both really, really good teams. It's whoever wins the NL East, then you have the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Pirates. Those are four teams that are looking really, really strong for October. Again, we're assuming either the Mets rotation holds up or the Nationals, everything comes together for them. Whoever wins the NL East is going to be really strong going into the playoffs. And then the Pirates as a top wild card is a team that would win most divisions. So, yeah, the NL looks like a real strong field.
Okay. I'm going to say this. If I had a favorite, let's say I just wanted to take a long shot. All these teams, 14-1 down to 18-1 for the Cubs. The Orioles are 40-1. And they're right there in the thick of things. You know, like the Blue Jays are the trendy pick right now. They're hot. But the Orioles, not as good as I thought they were going to be this year, but still 55-52 with a plus 53 run differential. Chris Tillman is being second half Chris Tillman now, even though he's a little bit banged up. Kevin Gausman could be a nice addition to the rotation for the Orioles. 40-1. I don't see how they are, you know, that much worse than the Blue Jays, than the Mets, than the Cubs, those teams.
I'm pretty surprised about that one, because after the Cubs, the next one is the Angels at 20-1, and then nobody's in between, and it drops all the way down to 40 with the Twins and Orioles. And that's surprising. I mean, especially with the nosedive that the Twins have done, I don't think anybody would want to even bet on them at 40-1. Even, I don't even think Joe Mauer's mom would want to bet on the Twins at 40-1.
No way.
But the Orioles, I mean, they're not neck and neck with them. They're 3 games over .500 now. They've been playing pretty good baseball for a little bit. I mean, 11-8 in the second half, which isn't great, but that's with, having lost four in a row at one point. So ever since then, let's see, 46-49 to 55-52. So they've won 9 of their last 12. And they're starting to come together, looking strong. They haven't lost a series since they got swept by the Yankees. And that was 3 weeks ago. So starting to come together a little bit. You know, there are few managers that I trust more than Buck Showalter. Yeah. And they do have offensive firepower, which is always a good key in the playoffs.
All right, so we've kind of picked some of our favorites. You're thinking Blue Jays 14-1 might be your favorite?
That's the one that I initially wanted to find. And as long as they weren't something like 4-1 or 5-1, I was probably going to pick them because they're looking really, really strong right now. Not just what we've seen and with the trades, but moving forward. I mean, their run differential's off the charts, and that was even before they added Price and upgraded with Tulowitzki. So I'm a fan. I think the Blue Jays are going to make some noise this postseason.
Yeah, run differential is plus 120. That's just insane.
Their record should have been better anyway.
Yeah, the Cardinals
are these guys, and now they're hot.
The Cardinals are plus 113, so that the Blue Jays have the best run differential in baseball. They have by far the best hitting in baseball, and they've got a big 3-game series this weekend in the Bronx with the Yankees, who are 8-1. And the Yankees, if they can win 2 out of 3, can gain another game on the Blue Jays. Right now, they are 4.5 up after taking 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. And the Yankees are playing pretty good baseball, but Michael Pineda is on the DL. They've called up top prospect Luis Severino, and he had a nice debut and a loss. 8-1 for the Yankees, who are sort of copying the Royals last year with, not so much from the starting pitching, but lights out in the bullpen, and they've overachieved for sure based on preseason expectations. What do you think about the Yankees at 8-1, Matt?
Don't love it. I feel like I'm going to be called a Yankees hater because all year in the power rankings, I keep saying, I don't buy them. I mean, it's like you said, at the bullpen, it's Miller, Betances, and we can't leave out Chase and Shreve. He's been incredible for them. They do have a great back end there. The roster to me, especially the pitching, but even the hitting to some point just seems fragile to me. They're either old or injury prone, almost everybody. And you just wonder at some point, is that going to catch up? And we've already seen Nova starting to have arm problems, Pineda on the DL. Like you mentioned, Severino came up, but he's a rookie. What happens when he gets through the league one time? I just think that at some point it's all going to catch up. And I could definitely be wrong because I've been wrong to this point. I thought it was going to catch up with him long before this.
Yeah.
But I'm a lot more of a buyer in the Blue Jays than the Yankees at this point. And really, I don't expect them to sweep, but if they did, that's only a game and a half. I would definitely pick the Blue Jays after that.
And I think they play 13 more times. So
really?
Yeah,
okay. Well, man,
I'm
so
gonna
a lot's
going to
come down to head-to-head there.
Yeah,
that
I'm going to look it up now.
Really,
but
really fun.
Yeah, this is a huge weekend. This is an absolutely huge weekend. And the Blue Jays could not possibly be playing any better going into this weekend series at the Yankees. And look, it matters a lot when you're looking at odds, because I know the Royals, they fought it off last year. They were the wild card team. Were the Giants the wild card team as well? They were, right? Both teams were wild card teams?
They were the road wild card team. They had to go to Pittsburgh, and Bumgarner threw, I believe, a shutout. I think Brandon Crawford hit a home run. Was it a grand slam, I believe? It was something like 8 or 9 to nothing.
And by the way, yeah, it is 13 more games for the Blue Jays and Yankees. But even though the wild card teams went last year, there is a nice advantage to winning your division. And the Blue Jays could go a long way to doing that if they can take 2 or 3 or even sweep the Yankees this weekend. And they will have Price on Sunday.
Games, it is definitely up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cardinals, we haven't talked about them. They're 6-1, and so are the Dodgers at 6-1. Which team has a better chance to win the World Series?
That's a tough one. I'm inclined initially to say the Dodgers because they have a lot more talent, and you can throw Kershaw and Greinke into any playoff rotation, and that looks awesome. But we could have said the same thing last year, and the Dodgers were beat by the Cardinals, and Kershaw was beaten twice by the Cardinals. So anytime you talk about the Cardinals getting into the playoffs, it's kind of folly to count them out based upon, oh, I like the other team's roster better, because there's just something about them that you can't – I've called them in the past, and I'll stick with it. They're like a villain in a horror movie. As many times as you stab them or shoot them, they always just seem to get back up, and you just can't get rid of them. It seems like you have to have the Giants. The Giants must be like if the Cardinals were a vampire, the Giants are the person with the wooden stake, and they're the only ones. They seem to be the only ones who can knock the Cardinals out.
Yeah, they've got the garlic all over their necks.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, initially I'm inclined to say the Dodgers, but there's no way I'd be confident about that because there's just something about the Cardinals once you get to October.
Do you have a favorite vampire movie? Or did you watch?
I don't even like it. No? I don't even know why I went straight to that example because I don't like that stuff at all.
There's some good ones. Dusk Till Dawn is a good movie. John Carpenter's Vampires isn't bad, if I remember correctly. I haven't seen it in a while. Oh, Lost Boys. All right, that's a classic.
Isn't that the Corys?
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland's in it. That's a good one. I like that one. All right, it's my favorite one, just for the record. Nationals at 7-1. So, favorite going into the year.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were the Vegas favorite, but I know they were the media favorite. And I'm not seeing it because Zimmerman just not having the same type of year. Gio pitches 6 innings at most, it seems, not having the same type of year. I like
Fister bad.
Fister's in the bullpen. And the hitting. I mean, Desmond has been terrible. Rendon has been bad. Worth hasn't been very good. Zimmerman has a very low batting average. Span's hurt. I don't know. I guess I could see things clicking. But right now, I don't see a World Series winner in Washington.
Yeah. I mean, it was 2 or 3 days ago, I actually, for the first time, had that kind of gut feeling. Because you doing what we do, you try to always look at the long view and not get caught up in the day-to-day roller coaster type stuff. And you know, fans have a tendency to, and I myself am a fan of the Cubs. I try not to do it, but you get caught up in it. But when it's a non-Cubs team, I'm always able to say, well, you got to look at the big picture. They're going to come around because of this, and this. It was just a few days ago when I was looking at the Nationals, and I finally said, you know what? I kind of what you just said, like, you know, this just feels like it ain't happening with this group. It's just, they've gone through so many injuries in the offense. They've never been able to click. Bryce Harper can only do so much himself. He's having that year that we always knew he was going to have. It was a matter of when, not if. And he's having that year. But Zimmerman, like you said, between the injuries and the underperformance, doesn't feel like it's going to click. Wilson Ramos, not good. Ian Desmond, this is as bad as you could have imagined going into a contract year. Denard Span, hurt again. Jason Worth has been hurt, and he's 36. At some point, he was going to hit his decline phase. It looks like he's doing it. I have faith in Rendon coming around, But the rest of them, it's tough to have faith at this point. And they're lucky to be fifth in the National League in runs scored, because they're 12th in batting average, 9th in on-base percentage, 6th in slugging. Only being fifth in runs, I mean, they should be 7th or 8th in runs, really.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of that's Bryce, to be honest. So, pitching, Scherzer, he's been great, but a lot of that great was in the first 2 months. So, Zimmerman, not very good, especially in a contract year.
Yeah.
Fister into the bullpen. Joe Ross has been a revelation.
Right.
But he's still a kid.
I don't think they're going to have him in the postseason rotation.
Yeah, you're going to need a lot out of Strasburg. You're going to need Zimmerman to look like he did last year. You're going to need Scherzer to look like he did in the first 2 months. And you're going to need a lot of guys on offense to rebound to previous years. It's in some cases 2 or 3 years ago.
And it's all possible. It's all possible.
It is.
But I don't think 7-1, considering the Mets, who are actually in first place, are 14-1. I don't think 7-1 is good enough odds for me to get
to
bet. Right.
A lot of that's based on preseason expectations.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, I just want to finish with a couple more teams here. Houston's 8-1 in first place in the AL West, and Pittsburgh is 12-1, and they are a wild card team right now out of the National League Central. Houston 8-1, Pittsburgh 12-1. Your thoughts on those odds?
You know, the Astros are decent there, because it looks like they're going to win the division. One of the things on the odds I would worry about is the wild card. I know it was 2 wild cards in the World Series last year, but that's an extra round. And so that should knock your odds down a little bit. But you look at the Astros right now, since the trade deadline, you add Scott Kazmir to that rotation. So you've got Keuchel, Cy Young candidate at the top. You can put Kazmir as your 2. They're stretching out McCullers. In terms of not like when you move a guy from the bullpen to the rotation, they're trying to stretch his stamina and make sure he doesn't run out of gas. You know, sending him down to the minors, they're going to skip him the rotation a few times. Then they'll bring him back. I think they're going to be able to figure it out to where he's strong at the end of the year. He could be a real strong 3 in the playoffs. That looks like a pretty good playoff rotation. Their bullpen, as opposed to last year's train wreck, is actually pretty good, especially at the back end. So you team that with the offense, who leads the majors in home runs and stolen bases, that could be pretty slump-proof in the playoffs.
George Springer, Matt.
What's that?
Without George Springer. He'll be back.
Yeah, that's true. And that's another guy. And you know, they just added Carlos Gomez to the offense. He fits right in with the stolen base and home run thing.
They're really good. They're good.
That's a team that could be pretty slump-proof in the playoffs. So that 8-1's decent there. I mean, it's not huge odds, but it's not like you're going 7-2 like you'd have to go with the Royals.
Yeah, and the Pirates are 12-1. And
we have to point out, if we're going to talk about the Astros, we have to point out they haven't had Carlos Correa the whole year.
Right. Yeah, Correa is... He's only played
51 games to this point.
He's probably been the best
shortstop. And if he played the whole year, he'd probably be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I think, I would guess since he's been called up, he's probably been better than every other shortstop in baseball, including Troy Tulowitzki. That's how good he's been. It's probably pretty close with Tulo, but man, he's been great.
It sounds insane to even be able to say that when he wasn't even up a few months ago.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Pirates at 12-1. Are those good odds?
Yeah. I mean, not great, because, again, they have to get through the wild card game. But if they do get through the wild card game, this is a team, they've already got that postseason experience. 2 years ago, they went to Game 5 and were blow for blow with the Cardinals, who ended up going to the World Series. You've got Garrett Cole, who you can put atop the rotation. If they could line it up, throwing Garrett Cole in that wild card game, that would be, I mean, Garrett Cole versus Jake Arrieta, for example, or versus Madison Bumgarner, for example, we could be looking at a pretty epic wild card game in the NL. And whoever gets through that is going to be a battle-tested ball club. And if it's the Pirates, their back end of the bullpen now sets up pretty well. They added Soria. They've got Tony Watson for the 8th inning. They've got Melanson for the 9th. They've got Andrew McCutchen. Gregory Polanco has started to show signs of coming around here in the past several weeks, at least in terms of extra base hits. If they can get Polanco going and get Marte going with McCutchen there, let's say Josh Harrison comes back and reverts to 2014 form, they have the capability of being a very exciting team in the postseason.
Jung Ho Kang, Rookie of the Year
Absolutely.
Candidate. Good
Absolutely,
stuff
yeah.
From Pittsburgh. Good stuff from Matt Snyder. And I just want to note that you have twice said, without saying it, that Jake Arrieta is the ace of the Cubs.
Yeah,
didn't not
even
Lester.
Think about it, but he is. Yeah,
yeah, he's pretty awesome.
I tell you what, a lot of it will come down to. This is assuming the Cubs can still stay in a contention in the final week, and I do think they will. A lot of it will come down to how everything lines up. You know, who's going to be the guy who's fresh going into that game? And they might need both of those guys to pitch in the final weekend, which would put them in a pickle for the wild card game. But if they have their choice, I would hope, again, you mentioned I'm a Cubs fan, so I don't mind saying I would hope that they would go with Arrieta because I trust him more than Lester. But Lester has a 1.66 ERA in his last six starts. So it's not like he's a slouch either. I'd be comfortable with either one of them, but I'd be a little bit more comfortable with Arrieta.
You could always play the matchups too and see which,
absolutely,
like if they're playing the Dodgers by some chance,
somebody who
you go
lefties,
lefty. Right.
Then you go with Lester.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com baseball writer. Thank you. We're going to have you back on. This was a lot of fun.
All right, man. Have a good one.
He has set the bar very high for all the future baseball analysts. Now, everybody, please listen to the Opening Line podcast 3 times a week for now. Maybe we'll ramp it up in a little bit. And go to sportsline.com and subscribe. It's very cheap. It's $10 a month for the best advice, the best projections that you could ask for. Sportsline.com. Go there and sign up right now. We also do have some free content if you don't want to sign up. But, you know, you should just log in, register, sign up, all that good stuff. I'm Adam Azer for Matt Snyder for the Opening Line podcast. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend.